great show this morning. We're going to be talking to the folks from Habitat for Humanity. And those folks are Terry Smith, who's a board member, chairwoman, and family support committee member. Morning, Terry.
Good morning, Julie.
And we are so lucky to have Christine Poulin, who is the 2016 recipient of a Habitat for Humanity home. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, and I'm the lucky one.
We're all lucky. It's just a wonderful thing. Well, because Christine is going to be leaving us early this morning, we would normally have talked a little bit about the organization first and then talked with Christine about her experience. But I think we're going to reverse that this morning. So, Christine, why don't you take the time that you have this morning and tell us what it was like for you?
I don't know how to sum it up. What I will say is that it was the most amazing experience of my life. It absolutely was to go from filling out the application, which I encourage everybody to do because you just don't know whether you qualify or not. I applied 5 years ago and didn't make it. And I had promised somebody that I would keep applying and keep applying, and I didn't for 4 years. And then I applied again because some people have to kind of like get on you to do things. I'm one of those people that needs encouragement, like do this. So I did. And then I got a call. For a home interview, did the home interview, and the family was sitting around the living room, and a wonderful young lady by the name of Jennifer comes to the door, and she knocks, and she says that we're one of two families that were selected at the time. We were going to do a duplex, and the duplex went from that to where we're at now, which is a single-family home, and sweat equity hours, all of the ins and outs and the things that need to be done seem overwhelming if I was just looking at it on paper. And that's why we have the family support people there to encourage us and cheer us on.
And how long have you been in your home?
Since February. Yep. Close to February 3rd.
All right. So you're very much a new homeowner.
I've gotten to shovel.
The whole process strikes me as this is much more than a home. This is a house.
Oh, it's a new life. That's not an understatement. It is a complete change, and it affects everybody from how we do things in the morning. I've got two small children still at home. How they behave, how they interact with their peers. They have their friends come over to the house and knock on the door. It's a neighborhood. There's children there that can go outside and play. I can say, can we walk the dog? Sure, go walk the dog. I'm not afraid for them, you know.
And by being a part of the whole creation of the house, the home, you're really vested into it in a way that's different than just if this house was given to you.
Absolutely. And more than that, invested in the community that we're put in. Mm-hmm. The neighbors and everybody just around us are so amazing. I can't brag on them enough. It's amazing.
You're here in Sandpoint.
Kootenay.
Oh, Kootenay. Got it.
Yeah.
So tell us about the community. Are the neighbors' other houses like this, or is it integrated in a different way?
We have the folks across the street that's not Habitat built, and then the folks on our block are all Habitat for Humanity homes, and which makes for something we all have in common instantly. We know how to drive a nail. We know how to put in insulation. We know how to put in sweat equity, look at the restore and do other volunteer things. And we all have that same investment in our homes. So I think that makes us invested in our community just by that.
Yeah. An instant community.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
And neighbors can help neighbors with repairs.
And they already have. I've had neighbors come in and plow out my driveway for me already and say, if you need anything, you know, give us a holler. It's incredible. It's what it should be, I think.
I'm wondering what's unique about you, Christine, that makes you eligible for a Habitat for Humanity home. It's not just everyone who can get one.
Well, you do have to income qualify. You can only make up to a certain, you know, they have a ceiling, but you do have to be able to make enough to pay a small mortgage because you're paying for your house. This isn't free. See, I had that misunderstanding at the beginning of it too. And you have to be willing to put in the work. That's a big one. We are partners with Habitat. We're not just give me a house. It's you have to be willing to put in the work and help them out and help build somebody your neighbor's home. And that keeps you invested in that way, too. Forms a relationship.
There's a paying it forward aspect.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
For you, what is that? More volunteer hours?
Volunteer hours and, being able to... the home previous to us, I went in and did some painting and helping out a little bit. And mm-hmm. then... We have a restore here in town that I can volunteer at and help put my hours towards the next person's house. Volunteer that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did your children help out a little bit with the hammering, or are there the kid appropriate things for them to do?
They worked hard on their grades because their grades also go towards sweat equity hours. So they did that way. And that was a win-win for me, too. It's having them get good grades. So, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting element, and what a great idea. That's great. Well, we know you only have a few more minutes left, but I understand you wrote a poem about this experience.
Yeah.
Why don't you share that with us, and then we'll talk more with Terry.
Well, it just kind of came to me that growing up, there is that poem of, this is the house that Jack built. This is the, I don't know how it all goes, but that's from my memories, not the greatest. But I thought, this is the house that God's love built. And so it just kind of went on from there, because that's the theme for Habitat for Humanity, is God's love in action. And so it goes like this. It says, this is the house that God's love built. This is the family, blessed to call it their home, that partnered with Habitat for an affordable loan to purchase the house that God's love built. The volunteers' hands that hold the nails, that fasten the wood and carry the pail, that blesses the family with an affordable loan, so we can go from a house to a forever home and thrive in the house that God's love built. This is the community, so loving and strong, whose generosity and prayers helped the project along. So the volunteers' hands could hold the nails that fasten the wood and carry the pail that blesses the family with an affordable loan, so we can go from a house to a forever home and thrive in the house that God's love built. This is the love that surrounds us all, that encourages the volunteer to heed the call, to help make a forever home inside these safe walls, and create a new life that God's love built.
Oh my, it's a great poem.
Do you have any thoughts or suggestions for people out there who are listening who want to become involved with Habitat for Humanity?
There are tons of ways. I know Terry's going to be telling you more. It's everything from fundraisers to volunteering at the Restore to donating to the Restore. If you're remodeling, well, she's going to get into more of that in a bit, but what you give here stays here. Volunteer to get a hold of the workers and see if you can take some of those nails and carry some of those pails and help somebody. And there's just a tons of ways. And she's better than I to lead you on with what that is. But there's many different ways. Whatever your specialty, there's a niche for it. There's a place that's needed. And it really changes a person's life. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you're thinking about qualifying to receive one of the homes, any words of advice or encouragement?
Fill it out. It's kind of like the lottery. You can't win if you don't play. And if you don't qualify and there's some things to work on, generally speaking, they come with you and they can work with you and say, this is something you need to take a look at. Keep applying. Keep applying. Don't give up. Mm-hmm. I'm in a situation where I need something that's handicap accessible. So they've got a ramp for me. They take and they build homes specifically for the family. There are some needs that I may have that somebody else might not. We have a son that has autism. And so there's different things that we're doing to accommodate that. So it's amazing. It's not just a house. It's not just a house.
Well, while we're on that theme, Terry, can you share contact information with listeners?
Sure. Anybody can call me on my cell anytime, 208-610-1003. If I'm not there, leave a message, and I will call you back.
And on that note, we're going to let Christine get off to her next appointment. I just want to thank you for sharing a little bit of your experience with us.
Thank you so much, you guys.
It's inspiring.
Thank you for coming in, Terry. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY in Ponderay, rebroadcasting after a short outage this morning with folks from the Habitat for Humanity, Christine, who's shared her story. We're going to take a short music break and then come back with Terry, one of the board members, and hear more about the organization and the projects that they support. Right now, we're going to take that short music break with a song from John Mellencamp, Little Pink Houses. We're back here, 88.5 KRFY-FM, speaking this morning about houses, Habitat for Humanity houses.
Mm-hmm. Very special houses.
Very special.
Are any of them pink, Terry?
No.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, as you know, we kind of started at the end, and we're coming back to the beginning. Christine had a schedule that didn't allow her to stay till the end, and we started a little late. But it would be good, I think, to begin from the beginning and tell us a little bit more about the general organization of Habitat and how it came to be here in Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm. The Habitat story, the idea that became Habitat for Humanity. It first grew on the soil of Koinonia Farm, which is a community outside of Americus, Georgia. Our operations, national operations, are still there. It was founded by a farmer and a biblical scholar, Clarence Jordan. On the farm, Jordan and founders Millard and Linda Fuller, they developed this concept of partnership housing. It centered on those in need of adequate shelter who work side by side along with volunteers to build decent, affordable houses. The houses are built at no profit. The new homeowners' payments are combined with no-interest loans, and the money that's earned goes to fund the next home, used to build the next homes. Times have changed. Build site locations have grown. But the real change that's shared by families today who partner with Habitat in a place they call home, which we learned from Christine's story this morning. Thanks in no part to the personal involvement of our U.S. President, Jimmy Carter, and his wife, Rosalind, and the awareness that they raised, Habitat is now in 1,400 communities across the U.S. in 70 countries and has helped almost 7 million people in homes.
Wow.
Since its inception in 1976. Our mission is we're part of that global nonprofit housing organization. We do operate on Christian principles, put God's love into action by building homes, communities, and hope for people who may have not had the hope of or the dream of home ownership.
And Terry, how did you come to be involved with Habitat here in Sandpoint?
Well, my friend Jennifer Berkey, who's just next door, she asked me if I could help. And I had worked on Habitat homes in Southern California where I relocated from, so I kind of knew a little bit about it. I said, sure, I could do something. And here I am.
So tell us a little bit about what you do here with Habitat Humanity. What's your role?
My role, I have two roles. I'm chairwoman of the Family Selection Committee and also vice president on the board of directors. So I get involved in the closing process and the finance piece along with our president and the treasurer.
It's a big organization and a big process. It's more than just a few nails going up and some wood. There's a lot to the selection process, to the follow through, the servicing of the accounts, the clients.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. The entire process from the time that an application is received till they move in and receive their keys is about 18 to 24 months. So it's a long process where we partner together with the family to prepare them for home ownership. It's a big paradigm shift in their minds. And we do our best to help them to get ready because we want to set them up for success.
And is it one home at a time in Sandpoint?
We are a small affiliate here in Sandpoint. And yes, we build one home at a time. Did you have a question, Bill?
No, go ahead and finish.
We do build one home at a time. We usually start around now, April, May time frame, and then we finish somewhere around January.
So you there's a process at the beginning end where you're qualifying and working with the clients to get them ready, and then you're building the home. What's the follow-up like?
The follow-up afterwards, we are as involved as the homeowner wants us to be. Sometimes homeowners might call us, for example, one wanted to put up a garage because we don't build garages as part of the home. And how can we do that? So we have a family support committee that comes alongside the existing homeowners and helps them to chart those kind of waters. If sometimes a homeowner may ask us for assistance with a repair or maintenance.
And, well, first of all, just a reminder to those of you who are listening, you are listening to 88.5 KRFY, a community-supported radio for North Idaho. If you aren't able to listen to all of our show this morning, you can always go back and find us online. We'll post a podcast later today, and you would do that by going to krfy.org. Terry, the question that I have for you, the financing process is a little bit unique since you're doing no interest and it's an income-qualified sort of program. Do you then service that loan or mortgage? Or
we are the bank.
You are,
so
okay.
Habitat is the bank. We excuse me, there are guidelines. Habitat for Humanity International has guidelines of how we assess the value, or well, the home appraisal is the home appraisal, but how we divide that into two different notes. One note that's affordable for the homeowner, it's no interest. So if it's 360, if it's 30 years, you just divide that, whatever the building costs are, by 360. And then the second note, as long as they make their first payment, the second note is relieved at 1/360th at a time. So by the end of their mortgage, the second note is forgiven.
Ah. Mm-hmm. So you're a financing company and you're a building company and a sort of a counseling company.
Yes, we everything. Are. So, all of those sorts of things.
So locally, how many people are working on the, if you will, supply side of this from Habitat?
The supply side.
Well, doing all these things, doing the preparation work, doing the finance work, helping coordinate. How many people? How many people like you are there?
On the family support committee and family selection committee, we use those interchangeably. Mm. I work with a team of 7, including myself. On the board, we have about 14 folks on the board. Yeah, so wow. quite a bit of people that serve their time, volunteer hours, year after year, week after week.
So are you always looking for volunteers to help out on those committees and boards?
Oh, yes. We always need volunteers for the board, for our family supports, family selection committee, at the restore, at the construction site. They have to be 16. We love volunteers.
If someone's interested, they can contact you.
They can contact me at 208-610-1003, and I will match them up to a good place for them to volunteer.
It seems like the volunteer construction group might have to be a large group. How large is that one?
They are actually, there's about 6 to 8 gentlemen. That's the core group. And they work every Tuesday, every Saturday from April till the following January. Very dedicated group of men who have been in the construction and industry, obviously. And we're going to break ground on our 18th home. So it's just fantastic. In Shishler Meadows, where Christine lives, there were 20 lots there, and we have 4 left. So we're going to build one this year, and so then that will leave us 3 left.
And then where do you go?
Well, we do have some plans. We have property out on McGee Road that we bought. Mm-hmm. It's not developed, so we need to develop that. We're going to go into some serious fundraising efforts to bring water and power and electricity past the railroad tracks, if you're familiar with McGee Road.
Yep.
And we're always looking for lots, cheap lots, or lots that people would donate. People do donate parcels of land, and we'll always accept that.
It seems to me you must have needed some fundraising or seed money to get Habitat for Humanity rolling in this area. How did that happen for you?
It was actually Mike Shishler, who was a resident, longtime resident of this community, and he went on a missionary trip and came back and decided he wanted to do something for low-income families. So through some grassroots fundraising from local contractors and construction folks and different, benefactors who donated money for that first home. We built a home, then we built another home. And then once you get rolling, then those mortgage payments, then they build the next home. So we have a lot of mortgage payments coming in, and a lot of, we've been in business, so to speak, long enough that some of those mortgages have actually matured. I think we've sold 1, maybe 2 homes of the 18 in this community.
So the residents really are long-term then. They're staying.
They are long-term residents, and we work with them over the years. If they are in between a job, or like they need a roof repair or something, we're there for them to help them through those issues of life.
Now, Christine mentioned, and you've mentioned a couple of times, the Restore. For folks who aren't familiar, tell us about what the Restore is. And I just think that's a great concept and name. What a
Restore.
Great branding effort.
Yes. So the Idaho Panhandle Restore, we sell donated materials, and those materials that you purchase at the Sandpoint Restore, That money goes right back into building homes in Sandpoint. If you go to the Hayden store, then there's a restore there as well, you're probably familiar with. That money goes directly to the Hayden community. So each affiliate, not each affiliate, most affiliates have a restore. There are 900 across the country.
And tell us the kinds of things that are in there to give us a scope of what it's all about.
Oh my gosh. We have gently used furniture, lots of appliances. We actually just started selling things by the pound. So we have tons of nails perhaps, or we have a lot of toilets. Don't know why, but we have a lot of toilets, different furniture, household items that you would use in the remodeling of your home.
And fixtures and things like doorknobs and handles. And
all of that, yes.
Building materials?
Some. It depends on what gets donated.
Could you build the whole garage out of the restore?
It might be hard-pressed to do that, but depending on what comes in, it's always changing. So you never know. Stop by. Okay.
But there can be gently used windows and things like that.
Oh, yes.
Can be good bargains.
Mm-hmm. And if you like my granddaughter, she loves to use those distressed windows and make things, creative, wonderful things.
If it's a really beaten up window, it's shattered. So,
shattered. Well, but they don't need that. You just use the frame.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so the benefit of the restore, of course, is that we can all bring our items there. And then if we find something, the proceeds, of course, go to building the next Habitat home. Are any of the is any of the inventory from the restore used in the new Habitat homes?
Oh, absolutely. It is very common, but because the homeowners are earning sweat equity hours by working at the restore, volunteering, they see things that come in. And we get some really nice things. And they say, can I have that in my house? Sure. And we will put it in their home for them.
That's a great reason to get in and do your volunteering at the restore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
That's right.
What a great community effort.
Mm-hmm. Well, Terry, it seems to me that Sandpoint is a rather small community to have its own Habitat for Humanity. Is that typical, or are they normally in larger cities?
Yes, they are normally in larger cities. Here in this region, we've had local affiliates in Bonners Ferry, Hayden, of course, Newport, here in Sandpoint, and Coeur d'Alene. So in this area. But the rural Habitat for Humanity is there are less of them than there used to be. There's still a lot, but there are less of them than there used to be.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell us anything about this year's home? What it's going to be? Is it planned out already?
Well, actually, not yet. We just changed floor plans because it's going to be on a corner lot. It's going to be actually kitty corner to Christine's home. And we have to be careful about where they have to put in a double culvert. I'm not really construction oriented, but they had to tweak the floor plan a little bit. This is going to be for a single mom of two small children, which happens to be kind of the same as Christine's. Three bedroom, two bath, which is typically what we build nowadays. Can I talk a little bit about Christine's house? Mm-hmm. So Christine's house, who was just here and she just moved in, that was the first ADA home that this affiliate has ever built. So it was, it did require wider hallways, wider doorways. There was a big spaghetti feed at St. Joseph Church where Christine is a member, and that raised money to buy things, a shower that she could just roll into with her wheelchair and sit down, and also to orient her bedroom and closet and personal bathroom to her need as well. And we did build that ramp that she spoke of, and someone donated the heating for it. So it's a heated outdoor wheelchair ramp, so she doesn't go sliding down the snow when she exits her home. And it goes right from the driveway to her back door.
Well, we're running a little low on time.
Okay.
Any last-minute thoughts or bits of information you want to share with the audience?
I think the thing I would like for people to take away today is if you don't apply, then we don't know who you are. We don't receive a lot of applications, maybe six this year so far. We haven't made a selection. only because the committee hasn't met to review the applications as yet. But God has always provided the perfect homeowner at the perfect time. But we would like to see more applications.
And when is there an application deadline, Terry?
We are always accepting applications, but for this year, well, the applications now would be for the 2018 home. We really need to make a decision in the next couple of months because they need to start earning their sweat equity hours.
And so to find an application?
They can pick one up at the ReStore and either take it there or mail it in. The address is on the application. They can go to our website or our Facebook page, and there's a hyperlink that'll take you to the application as well.
And what is that website?
www.iphfh.org.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for coming in. We enjoyed
you
your time with us, Terry.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And yes. Thank you for your service to the community, Terry. What a great thing you're working on.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. These families are wonderful, and it's a privilege to come alongside of them, get to know them, and we're friends for life. So it's just a building of a relationship.
If you missed any of this morning's interview, you can listen to the podcast. It should be up later today. Each and every week, we're live streaming. In fact, live streaming was the best way to listen to us this morning at KRFY.org. Julie and I are going to hang around. We're going to talk about upcoming events, and Mark Sauter is going to come in and talk about a very special event this evening. We're going to transition, though, between now and then with a song from the Commodores, Brick House. I don't think the Habitat for Humanity locally does any brick houses. They might elsewhere, though.
I don't think they're brick houses. We don't see too many brick houses around here, do we, Phil?
Not many. Different construction style for different part of the country.
That's right.
Well, we're back with Mark Soderberg, who's going to talk about an exciting event this evening. Both Julie and I are planning on going. So, Mark, you're on.
Minus the Berg. Mark Sauter.
Sauter. Close enough. Thanks. Call me anything but late for dinner.
There you go.
Just wanted to say thank you very much for having me this morning and in other mornings to talk about fire prevention. Yes, tonight's the night for our mega fire presentation at the Columbia Bank building. A lot of people know it as the site of the Tango Cafe. It's our event's from 6:30 to 9 this evening. The presentation is actually 70 minutes long. It's by Dr. Paul Hesberg. He has 27 years of experience in wildland and natural ecology firefighting. And he's going to do a presentation on the history of wildland fires and then as it leads up into today and kind of the current conditions. There'll be lots of people there as well that are local resources to talk to residents about what they can do for their own fire prevention needs and situations. So there's a lot of opportunity to get things done through the local resources like IDL and NRCS, and then the Selkirk Fire Department does property visits as well. So thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Is he speaking or is this a film?
He speaks. He's actually here.
He's live.
It's a multimedia. Yeah, it's live. It's multimedia. He has video and sound, and it's a moving presentation. So I think everybody will like it. Okay. It's entertaining. He has a great voice and a good speaking demeanor. Okay. So I think you'll like it.
Mark, you were on our show a couple of weeks ago talking about fire prevention. It was a great show. After we had finished, a neighbor had called me and talked with me with a question that I hadn't thought to ask you when you were on, and relates to the presentation tonight. You mentioned there will be some prevention management advice given tonight, and the neighbor had asked me this. She has lived here for many years, and she knows that we're in a very wet period right now, and it's easy to lull yourself into thinking that probably not much fire this year, but she suggested to me that there might be a lot of fire load produced this year. Is that the case?
Or? She's absolutely right. The lots of rain, yes, keeps things green, but it only takes a week or two to dry things out, but it also, besides keeping things green, helps promote things to grow. So with a little bit of warmth and all that moisture, yes, we are looking for a lot of the flashy fuels, grasses, to grow pretty well this year. Mm. So yes, we're hopeful that we can get through this wet season and go right back into another wet season in the fall. But in between, we have that.
It's not a freebie year.
Exposure to risk. No, and fire takes usually no vacations.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see what the summer brings, how much it dries out.
Yes, and a good reason to attend tonight's presentation. I'll have to get there.
Yep.
Really look forward to seeing you both and seeing all of our listeners there. Thank you very much for your time.
Good. Thanks for coming in, Mark. Okay, well, let's launch right into some upcoming events here at KRFY, the morning show. If you're listening every morning to the morning show, tomorrow morning, Wednesday, May 3rd, features another in the series of the school district debates. It'll be hosted by Susie Perez and Chris Bessler. Trustee candidates from Zone 3 will be here, Lonnie Williams and Victoria Zeischweg. That's at 8 a.m. right here at 88.5 FM. Then on Thursday, tune in to the morning show with hosts Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. They'll be interviewing organizers of the upcoming Food for Our Children Cinco de Mayo fundraiser. Their second interview will be with the Festival at Sandpoint Executive Director Dinah Wall. And I see they've announced their lineup a little earlier than normal.
Tell us more.
I think we're going to hold that till Thursday. Oh. I don't think it's a big reveal, but it's a reveal. So we have an extra interview Friday, May 5th. Join KRFY for a Friday morning extra interview showcasing the upcoming Viggo Mortensen art auction opening scheduled for May 6th at Syringa Cyclery. Guests will be the hosts of this fundraiser, Charles Mortensen from the University of Idaho Cyclocross Course and Susie Perez and Jim Healy from KRFY Community Radio. Not sure who's going to be conducting it, but sounds like Susie and Jim will be guests on it.
Yes.
That'll be at 8 a.m. And Julie, why don't you tell us more about that event this weekend?
It's really worth visiting, everyone, because Viggo Mortensen photographed some of the beautiful Dakota landscape years ago, and he's so wonderfully donated these prints to KRFY and Team Autism. And so if you haven't seen them, you ought to come on in and just take a look, and maybe you'll consider bidding on them. It is for the good of the radio station and also Team Autism. If you're not able to come in, you can either go to our website, krfy.org, there will be a link, or you can go directly to biddingforgood.com/KRFY, and you'll be able to see them there, although not in person. And if you wish to bid on them, you can do that. On Saturday, which the event will be happening from 11 until 3 p.m. If you stop in, we'll have some light refreshments, and there will be folks from the station and from Team Autism to talk about the auction. It's going to be a great afternoon.
Yeah, it will be. Come. Then, of course, next week we'll be back with the morning show, and on Tuesday we'll have a couple of guests. We've got Tom Dabrowski talking about Idaho Trails Association's local membership training event coming up later in May, and who's our second guest, Julie?
Well, it's a sort of a to be determined. I'm going to let that be a surprise for next week.
Okay.
It has to do with shoreline erosion, but we'll speak about that more later this week.
All right. And wrapping up the upcoming KRFY events, our annual membership drive is June 9th and 10th with lots of fun things going on, live broadcasts, and lots more surprises. But I know it'll be a fun time.
Yes, and other upcoming events between now and next week are important ones. One is the LPOSD Trustee Election Debate. That's at the Pondre Event Center above Selkirk Glass. That's the debate with Zone 2 candidates Richard Miller and Gary Suppiger, and Anita Perry and Carrie Keller, and actually some others. So you might want to check that one out. That's on the 3rd, 6 p.m. Idaho Gives is a very important day that we should all be putting on our calendar and planning to give. It's the program of the Idaho Nonprofit Center, Idaho Gives. It's a 24-hour online giving event for us to be able to give to our favorite nonprofits here in Idaho and hopefully specifically in Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm. And that evening there'll be a hosted reception at IPA for the local nonprofits participating in Idaho Gives. So stop on down there, have a beer, find out more.
Right, and you can also go to idahogives.org for more information on that one. And finally, Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, of course, the Leadership Sandpoint is presenting that. And we'll hear more about that from Susie and Chris, but that's coming up on the 5th. And for more info there, you can call 208-263-9471. Ah, of course, we know about the auction on Saturday. That's the Viggo Mortensen auction, so please keep that in mind and keep that on your schedule. And additionally, well, for those of you with kids that like to get out, the 6th and 7th is the Silverwood opening. So get your roller coaster hat on and get out there.
Lots of springtime things coming up, and we usually start the show with the weather, but we launched into the interviews today, so we'll close it out with a little bit of weather today. I haven't looked out the window in the last hour, but it was supposed to be partly sunny a high of 58, so we're pushing springtime. Tonight's mostly cloudy, dropping back down into the high 30s. Tomorrow, a chance of rain. I think this is the same weather I read 2 weeks ago.
Well, 2 weeks ago it was rain, not a chance of rain.
20% chance of rain, then mostly cloudy, a high of 63. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy again. Thursday, it says sunny. That's all it says, sunny, a high of 74. So we're looking forward to some springtime coming up Thursday.
That's right. Get your shorts on.
Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. If you didn't catch us at the beginning, if you came in a little late and you want to hear the entire interview, you can go to KRFY.org and listen to the podcasts. We're going to take it out here with a little bit of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, still staying on the Habitat for Humanity, Our House theme.